And now to the work of the nonprofit called Aid Access that provides abortion medication by mail in the U.S. and around the world. Through telemedicine, the organization provides abortion pills to women in countries with barriers to abortion health care. It was launched 4 years ago by a Dutch physician. Join in on at-home abortions, on care in a post-Roe v. Wade America, 800-642-1234. Christy Pitney is an advanced practice midwife with the Washington, D.C.-based Forward Midwifery. She is affiliated with Aid Access. Christy, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. So with the Supreme Court seemingly poised to overturn the landmark Roe in the coming weeks, what are you doing to prepare for this potential new reality and this sea change for reproductive rights?
Well, our organization is uniquely positioned that we have clinicians both within the United States and Dr. Gompertz, who started it, and she's based out of Austria. And so because of that, she's able to continue to prescribe the medication abortion pills into all 50 states, even if there are state-level restrictions. So the main thing that we've been doing is hiring some extra staff. We have a help desk that helps us to do the administrative work, and they're a huge piece of our puzzle. And then we've been in discussions with the manufacturers, and they all feel confident that we have a good supply of the medications. So we're going to be able to continue to offer services into all 50 states.
Can you walk us through how the services work here in the U.S.? Can you kind of walk us through that model?
Yeah, absolutely. So anyone who needs the abortion pills by mail can go to aidaccess.org and fill out a consultation, which is, it's inclusive, but it's not time consuming. So it asks questions like, what was the first day of your last menstrual period? How many surgeries have you had? Things like that. And then our help desk team will review it, do the administrative work, make sure that we have the proper mailing address, any follow-up non-clinical questions. And then they send it to the appropriate clinician. So for Wisconsin, that would be Dr. Gompertz. She would review the case and then write an e-prescription to a mail order pharmacy that's based in India that we have worked with for a long time, for the entire time that Aid Access has been running, as well as before that with some of her other organizations. And then that pharmacy will mail the prescription to the folks, to whichever address they have requested.
So I'm wondering then, according to the Guttmacher Institute, 19 states, including Wisconsin, require having a clinician physically present to provide a medication abortion. Wouldn't that mean that these states don't allow abortion by telehealth, don't allow abortion pills by mail?
Yeah, absolutely. So a clinician from within those states would not be able to offer these services. And even someone inside the United States, but not in Wisconsin, for example, wouldn't be able to prescribe across state lines as the laws are right now. However, because Dr. Gompertz is based out of Austria, there's no state level jurisdiction to stop her from offering these services. And she's following all of her medical and legal requirements from where she's based out of.
From what I understand, mifepristone is extremely restricted in many countries. The other drug, misoprostol, as well. Why do these medications route through India?
So Dr. Gompertz has been connected with that pharmacy in India for a very long time, but we started using it because we know that the medications are often manufactured in India, and then they go through a lengthy vetting process and they're high quality medications. And so that is a big part of why we have used the pharmacy in India. We are also looking into finding pharmacies perhaps in Mexico or Canada that would reduce our shipping time so that the medications could reach people faster.
Can you explain from your healthcare background how these medications work when they're taken?
Yeah, absolutely. So like you said, there's two medications, mifepristone, which blocks progesterone, a hormone that's required to continue a pregnancy. And that's the first one that's taken. And then about 24 to 48 hours later, the person takes misoprostol. And that is a medication that causes uterine cramping and bleeding. And so that's the one that really pushes out the pregnancy, any pregnancy tissue. And someone will have heavy bleeding on the day of taking that medication. And everyone's different, but you can have bleeding that's much milder for anywhere from 1 to 4 weeks after taking that medication.
There's also cramping as well with the medication?
Yes, exactly. So it's very hard to counsel exactly what someone will expect because every body is different and then every pregnancy is different. And it depends on how far along someone is as well. But I tend to tell my patients that they can expect something between a very, very heavy, strong period, or if they've had labor before, perhaps like early labor pains. So it's not a comfortable experience, but that's that means that the medications are working.
What is the cost for these services?
So for states that are restricted, such as Wisconsin, where the medications are going through Dr. Gompertz and through India, the requested cost is about $110. And then in states where we do have U.S. clinicians, it's $150. But for any of the states, we offer the medication on a pay what you can sliding scale model. So even if someone can't afford that full cost, we'll make sure that they can still access our services.
Is that sustainable for your organization? Will that model work for the foreseeable future?
Yes, it has been for this entire time. And we are looking at ways to secure funding. We actually have WRAP, WRRAP is a national abortion fund here in the United States. And so they are funding the states where we do have U.S. clinicians. And we're still working to find ways to help support Dr. Gompertz, but she's been doing this for a very long time and it has been sustainable. We'll just have to continue to evaluate after the Supreme Court decision because we saw an increase in demand after the draft decision was leaked, and we anticipate seeing an even higher increase after that decision's official.
Christy Pitney, midwife affiliated with the nonprofit Aid Access, which provides abortion services in all 50 states, talking about access to abortion medication as the U.S. Supreme Court appears poised to overturn protections under the landmark ruling Roe versus Wade. Join in on telehealth abortions on medication-based abortions, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Christy Pitney here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's pick up our discussion on access to abortion services in Wisconsin in light of the U.S. Supreme Court appearing ready to overturn Roe. The nonprofit called Access Aid sends abortion medications through the mail using a telemedicine model we've been talking about. Its founder, Dr. Rebecca Gompertz, told Ms. Magazine earlier this year that they've helped over 30,000 people with abortion services since 2018. Join in 800-642-1234. Christy Pitney with the nonprofit Aid Access stays with us for about 9 more minutes. I want to pick up with something you said there. I'm wondering how and if you feel the effects of policy change, because that may be an indicator of what's to come. Like when Texas and its law took effect September 1st, banning all abortions basically after 6-7 weeks of pregnancy. Did that change in Texas law cause a change at Aid Access and seeing more patients from Texas? Could you put that two and two together?
Yes, absolutely. We did see an increase right around September 1st. And we actually saw an increase from across the nation. It wasn't just localized to Texas. And then pretty quickly, our requests in other states went back down to the normal rate. But the ones in Texas have stayed elevated and understandably so with the 6-week restrictions. And then, yes, when we saw or heard about the draft decision, we had an increased demand there as well. I think part of that has to do with more awareness. So more people are talking about Aid Access and other telehealth medication abortion models. And then partly with fear of not being able to access medications in the near future. And then also starting around September 1st with the SB 8 decision in Texas, we started offering what's called advanced provision of medication abortions, which is where someone does not have to be pregnant right now and can request a prescription to have on hand for the future. And so we saw a huge increase in requests for that after the draft decision was leaked.
Let's take a call now. Laura is with us from Manitowoc. Laura, hi. What is on your mind?
Hi, I'd just like to know for people that are listening, what are the things that we can do in terms of time, in terms of donations, in terms of getting the word out? How specifically, if you had a wish list of things people could accomplish for you, please tell us what we can do to help.
Laura, thanks. Christy, go ahead.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you so much. So I think that the most important things people can be doing right now are donating to local abortion funds and practical support organizations, because those are the folks who are helping people to either travel out of state if needed or requested, or to access their pills online. And so you can go to the National Network of Abortion Funds website, or to a website that is called Apiary, APIARY.org. And that one's for the practical support. So those are the people offering transportation, hotel rooms, things like that. And then of course, looking at the legislation in your state and seeing how you can lobby, vote, encourage legislative changes is hugely important right now as well.
Has medication ever been blocked in the mail coming to a patient in the U.S.?
We have not had that issue at all. Of course, there are sometimes problems with the mail. Things get lost or delivered to the wrong address, and then we will, as quickly as possible, send out a new package. But we have not had any known issues of people withholding the mail or opening someone else's mail.
And typically, how long does it take for a patient to get that prescription from when they first contact you?
Yeah, so currently we have U.S. clinicians in 21 states. And in those states, which are listed out on our website, the medications take about 2 to 3 days to arrive because they're shipping from within the United States. But then in any of those restricted states right now, there's 29 that Dr. Gompertz is serving. Because it's coming from India, it has to go through customs, obviously just takes longer. So that's about 2 to 3 weeks to get those medications.
And what if someone needs follow-up care after taking the medications? What happens there?
Yeah, great question. So people can always email us and we tell them that we will respond within 12 hours. Generally, it's faster than that. And that's often good enough for a lot of basic follow-up questions. But we also know that that is not fast enough for some more urgent things. And so there is a hotline, the Miscarriage and Abortion Hotline, that is a clinician-run hotline where I volunteer on there as well. We answer calls and text messages for people with medical questions during an at-home miscarriage or abortion. So that is a really great place that I would recommend people turn to before going in for in-person care, such as an emergency room. And then the absolute last step would be to go to an urgent care or an emergency room. But it's extremely rare that that would need to happen.
I'm interested in what comes up on the hotline. As you work the hotline, what are some things that you encounter?
So we do get a lot of questions of where can I get pills online? And so then we redirect them to places such as plancpills.org, which is a directory for how to access the pills. And then also the medical questions are a whole range of things. Can I use a tampon after my medication abortion? When can I take a bath? Is my bleeding too heavy? Am I not bleeding enough? I'm having diarrhea. Is that normal? So just a wide range of things. But what we have found is that these medications are really very easy to take and people understand how to take them. And so we don't get a lot of callers to the hotline who have either missed a step or messed something up with the process. Most folks are very capable of doing this at home on their own.
Do you think there is a preference for telemedicine abortions because, you know, as you say there, people can stay in the privacy of their own home?
So I think there's a lot of factors there. So doing telehealth, you don't have to have transportation, you don't have to arrange childcare, take off time from work, walk past protesters. It's often cheaper. So there's all of those things. But I also think that folks are just being kind of pressured or pigeonholed into choosing telehealth abortion because of the political climate. And so that's really unfortunate. I think in an ideal world, people would be able to choose between community-based care, going to a clinic, not having that stigma, or choosing telehealth. I would rather they have any and all of the options.
We have a question here from Luann in Madison called and was wondering how long the process takes after taking the second pill. Luann says they've heard it takes about 6 to 8 hours.
That's a great question. Yes. So the bleeding generally starts, bleeding and cramping, 1 to 6 hours after taking that second medication. And then that's a good window, 6 to 8 hours. I generally advise it could be 6 to 12 hours. And that's the really heavy bleeding and cramping, the really uncomfortable part of it. And then, as I mentioned, lighter bleeding for anywhere from 1 to 4 weeks after that time.
Very quickly, because we're out of time, why did you get involved with Aid Access? What brought you to it?
Yeah, thank you. At the time, I was living in a semi-rural area in California where people in my area would have to drive at least an hour to get an abortion. And as I sort of alluded to before, people in that area, they did not have reliable transportation. They were working 6 or 7 days a week, language barriers, immigration barriers. And so I was trying to find a way to offer access to the people in my community. But I was working at a federally qualified health center, which means that because of the Hyde Amendment, I couldn't offer those services in my clinic. And so that's how I got connected with Dr. Gompertz and Aid Access.
Christy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Christy Pitney is an advanced practice midwife affiliated with a provider called Aid Access that works to provide abortion services to all 50 states. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.